it's a wonderful base we are setting that we can really launch out on this life, this eternal life. Because when John wrote, as was made mention, there were many things that were coming in to make Christianity seem as though it's just another group of, you know, people who believe certain things, and it was bringing in something systematic that Christ was the ultimate goal. Well, in the Epistle of John, the two beginnings is found in verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 1 is his incarnation. In verse 2, it tells us the beginning in John is now incarnated. And this is what is so wonderful, is that everything else began to be. But what we are taking up never had a beginning. So everything, all of us have to realize, we have to stand back, brethren, and just tiptoe through these divine waters, because we are going to take up something we cannot even explain, because it's God Himself. So now in chapter, in verse 1, it tells us, how was it possible for the apostles to hear? It tells us to see, to look, to handle. How can you handle a spirit? He became a man. So the incarnation was the vehicle, if I use the word gardenly, for us to see the manifestation of this life that never had a beginning. So when man bring in, when the agnostics and the philosophers and all these men bring in their stuff, this is the minds of men. But God is taking us back to the very source, taking us back to John chapter 1. And he's saying, no, it's not to enjoy a doctrine, it's to enjoy a person, that we may be caught up with this person who never had the beginning and will never have an end, but he came in time that we may be real, as John expresses, this is real. We have heard him. It means to give him audience. Never a man speak like this man. Could imagine sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. They looked, it says, they saw it, which we have seen. It brings before us, they stared upon him in amazement. In amazement. Imagine the privilege of seeing that which had no beginning. Brethren, it is real heart searching. That's why when he says we know, it's conscious knowledge. Conscious knowledge, we know.
Saying, sir, it's very important that the Spirit of God would bring to us at the outset the foundation that John here is not speaking of a doctrine. And it is not a doctrine that we are holding on to. It is a person. And he sets the foundation that this is a person we have actually seen, which we have looked upon, or hands have handled. And this person is the Word of Life. As our brother has mentioned, that he had himself no beginning. He is the originator of life. He is the sustainer of life. And life resides in him. Mm-hmm. And as we go down in the chapter, we will come to appreciate that this life which is in him, we have been made partakers of this life. Yeah. But it is that we are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, our life is hid in him. And so it is not just that he has given us life, but it is because we have been brought into union with Christ that we have life. And this is by the Spirit of God. And it is we the same spirit that resides in us. It's the same spirit of God. And therefore, we do not have any life apart from Him. And this setting the base, the real foundation here, so that as we would study the rest of the chapter, and as we would go through life really, we will come to appreciate that our eyes and our hearts must be fixed on the Lord Jesus, because in Him is resident life. And the life we have is His life. It is not life that has been imparted, but life in Him. And we are seated in the heavenlies in Him.
I'm wondering if something can be said for us to lay hold on the person of the Lord Jesus in the way some of the terms are used in verses 1 and 2. It says, when the apostle describes what they have heard, seen, looked, and handled, he then refers to the Lord Jesus as the Word of Life. But then in verse 2 it says, the light was manifested, and later on it says that that eternal life which was with the Father. How do we then define some of these terms in order for us to lay hold on who the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is?
In chapter 30 of John's Gospel, I'm sorry. Chapter 10, verse 30 of John's Gospel, we read the Lord speaking, saying, "I and the Father are one." Now, I can't grasp that with any natural reason. I really can't. I can't understand that. That here is one who came and sin apart seemed to be like a man. Sin apart, no sin in him. But how could he be very God at the same time? I can't understand that by natural reason. I have to accept that by faith. The Lord is the manifestation. It's God incarnate. He is God incarnate, coming down for the very express purpose of going to the cross, knowing the future, knowing all that lay before him, but going on faithfully in obedience to his Father. And all of us that have faith in him can now also call his Father our Father. But they are one. They are one. We don't worship three gods, Father, Son, and Spirit. No. We have one God, but manifested in three persons. So I think that may be of some help, that he and the Father are one.